You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 128 of Well Met. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is October 16th, 2017. Great quality control there, Danny, on that one. From Studio 6 in Denver, Colorado, I'm Kick Tripod. With me, of course, is the almost full crew. Man, we're going to get it right one of these weeks, I swear. First, let's go to Ithaca, New York. No, that's a different Dunder Mifflin branch. Buffalo. Nope, that's another different one. It's Nashua, New Hampshire. Yeah. Danny Donuts. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Dude, not bad, man. How are you?
Good. Trudging along through the meta. Not my favorite at the moment, bruh. but we'll make it through it.
Here's what you do. Create a new account, create a tempo rogue list, and then just like climb up to rank 15 and then rinse and repeat. So you do 97% win rate across the board. That's all I've needed.
Then you never get legend.
And I mean, technically, if I add up all those wins and win rates, it gets me pretty close. At the end of the day, what? It's one extra golden card and a card back I already have? Come on.
But what about the pride and joy you get of attaining the legendary ranking?
You know, after the third time, it's like, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. After like the 100th time, it gets that. I got that feeling as well.
I feel you. That other voice from another branch of Dunder Mifflin, and it's none other than Ray C. Hey, Ray, how you doing, man?
Oh, well, you didn't even introduce me.
I know you did, but we do the introductions every... You slid right into every that, time, just like my DMs on Twitter.
You're right. That is how we met, except it was you sliding into my
DMs. You have never seen Ray at a con before, he's got the moves. He may be drinking a very feminine drink, but he puts on the moves pretty hard. I think that was...
God, what's your drink choice right now? What's your drink choice for John to say it's feminine?
It was Bailey's?
You ordered that.
Bailey's chocolate milk.
You told me to get it.
What? I don't even know what it was, but it was like, oh...
Well, chocolate milk's one of the manliest drinks you can have. What are you talking about?
Which quinceañera were you underage drinking at for this one is basically what it...
It was like a rusty monkey or something like that.
That's what it was. No, I got it because you got it.
That's not how that day went. I started off...
I distinctly remember teaching Tare the ins and outs of Aggro Shaman and then... getting the same drink that you had. So
that's what you did. That's how that night
that's,
went. Yep.
That's exactly how it happened.
No, I forced Trey to leave his house so he could go outside and go to the piano bar with us.
Tare was really cool.
He's the homie. I bet you he's even
cooler when he speaks because he said like two words and I don't blame him.
I know.
There was a lot to listen to that night.
He gets exposed to people. It's like Shoop. Like, they don't talk a lot, but the people that they talk to, I'm one of those people, so you know they're really tainted just from that factor alone.
I mean, people don't know this about me because my online persona is talking on the internet for multiple hours a week. I'm super introverted. I get it all out in two weekends, TwitchCon and BlizzCon, and then boom, done. That's it.
Back to being a hermit.
Wiping my hands of this and going back home and Getting back to my keyboard kind of courage.
I'm like, I love to just meet new people and talk to people and just talk about anything and everything.
So that is true. Once I meet people, I genuinely have a great time. But like, if I go to like a place where I don't know anybody, I'm not one to strike up conversation.
Oh, I will. I'm the kind of person that'll just be like, hey, you in front of me in line, what are you getting? I've never been here. What all right, I'm getting that. If I don't like it, what?
So what are you getting?
Yeah, no, I'll literally do that sometimes. If I've never been to a place, I'll just ask somebody what they're getting. And if it's good, and if they say yes, I'll get it. And then I'll say my whole day is it just it's in your hands. If I don't like this, my whole day is ruined. And I just want you to know that.
A guy I used to work with at a company I used to work for. Sorry, I didn't have to include that second part. Him and I would have an inside joke where we would go up to people we didn't know and just like compliment them on something that they were wearing or something they have, and then ask for them to give it to us. So be like, hey, those are really great headphones. Can I have them?
Can I have them?
And you would be surprised how off guard it puts people, because people are genuinely just so polite. It's like you don't, especially in a first encounter, no really isn't that vocabulary. And so you just be like, hey, I really like those shoes. Can I have them?
You're clearly not from the East Coast.
Do you want to trade?
Or New England.
I mean, it's true. It's Minnesota and Colorado. You know,
they'll literally just flip you off and walk away.
Oh, man.
Yep. That's definitely true.
It was a good time. The other thing that we would do is we would try to make we would always at the place where I worked, a big part of what we had to do is speak in analogies. We would have a lot of people who would come in who maybe didn't know the most technical things. So you speak in analogies all the time. So the goal was to make everything analogous to a garden. So every time someone would be like, so what do I do with this? Be like, well, it's like a garden. You got your tomatoes, you got your pumpkins. They just don't match. And you just do that every time. And your customer, they'd be really happy. But you'd always lean in on the other guy and hear what they were trying to say, because they're always horrible analogies.
I mean, gets old. But either way, we got some news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. That was a great segue. I actually tried to push that button right after my story, and for some reason, the window wasn't there. So, anyways, hey, we've got a ton to talk about this week in Hearthstone. Danny, what's up first?
Well, sure. Last week we missed it, but there was a little bit of an update for October Brawl. So Team Void and Team Light face each other. If you guys didn't get the little twist that happened last week, up until this point, they've been getting cards from different expansions, and they've ran through all the expansions. So now they went and they actually got every single player on the team got to choose an adventure. So you could go through and you had to speed run the adventure, and you had somewhere around 40 minutes to try to get as many cards as you could from the adventure. So like, I think it was like Kriparian had the Karazhan. So he had 40 minutes plus some change to go in and try to get as many cards as he could from the adventure bosses, which is pretty cool. And they had a little face off, and Team Void won, as they have, what was it, two other times, and it's going to wrap up when they face again off against each other live at TwitchCon.
TwitchCon? It's not BlizzCon?
No, I think it's at TwitchCon this weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wraps up this weekend at TwitchCon. That's going to be pretty cool. It's really weird, though, that they decided to have two major things that involve Hearthstone on the same weekend, because DreamHack Denver is also this weekend, and I will be there, and John will be at TwitchCon, and Danny will be...
I'm just gonna be at home, hanging out.
Well, now I just feel bad.
Yeah,
it's okay. I'll.
So we've got TwitchCon going on, which, man, I'm so excited for. They've got this Blizzard Masquerade thing going on Friday night, and I'm going to be at that. No idea what it's about. No idea. It's a masquerade. You choose your villain and then show up there for drinks and hors d'oeuvres. That's literally all I know. So,
wait, what do you mean by choose your villain? Do you have to like dress up as a villain?
You choose someone to like pledge your allegiance to. And the ones that I had to choose from was the Lich King, Deathwing, Leoric. Is that a thing? Is that a Diablo thing? I think that's a Diablo thing. And then Reaper, Overwatch. And naturally, I chose Deathwing because let's be real. And so we'll be there for that. And I have no idea what it's about, but I know we get a cool Deathwing mask, I believe, while we're there. Katie is going to wear a dress. I might wear a dress. And
oh, well, you better take pictures if that's happening.
Why don't you just come to TwitchCon?
I'll be busy winning DreamHack Denver this weekend, which you all can catch on some Twitch channel, whatever that is. But I'm going to be winning like $10,000 or something this weekend, so I'm a little bit busy.
Dang, that's the confidence. What's your? Can you tell us your lineup or your strategy?
Oh God, no. Maybe next week after I win, I'll go in depth on that.
You think that
it's a closed list tournament, right?
It's a closed.
Oh, it is closed list. Okay, never mind then. Then I get it. I'm like, really? Like an extra 48 hours? Come on.
Yeah, no, lists aren't revealed, so I gotta keep that on lock.
Can you tell us anything?
I can tell you that I will be there and I will be playing. And I'll be playing four decks, and you can ban one of them if you're also playing and you play against me. Each deck will contain 30 cards. I might have some legendaries, I might not. I probably will. And I'll probably play Priest, probably play Druid. And that's about all I can tell you. Might even play Rogue.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him. Well, good luck to you. Like I said, if you win, you can, you know, stay for free at my apartment. But if you lose, you know, Motel 6 is where it's at.
I was planning on staying at the hotel with my team, but now that you say Motel 6, that just sounds much more appetizing.
They do have towels in their bathrooms, so
you know the place that we were booking. I don't think it had towels or bathrooms.
See, that's the first question you should ask anytime you book a hotel. Like, do you have towels?
Yeah,
in your bathroom.
I think it's a Hilton, but they probably just don't have them. I can't imagine.
Won't tell us his deck list, but will tell us which hotel he stays at. Racy, way to be.
I mean, yeah, if people are going, hit me up. I'll hang out.
I really wish I was going to be here. I told myself I'm going to stay in Denver unless my panel gets approved for TwitchCon. So I will be at TwitchCon. And this is pretty cool. We're actually going to be doing a panel on Saturday about podcasting on Twitch and all the technology it takes to do that, the different networking skills and show mapping skills involved. I'm going to be moderating that panel with Chanman V. You may know him from little shows like Value Town and The Overview. And Pat Crane originally was going to be on that panel, and he's going to be vacationing in Northern California and then fly down to Southern California. But with the fires, he had to cancel his trip and he can't make the flight down. So we got a replacement. You may or may not have heard of him. He's not very big. He's not nearly as well known. His name is Total Biscuit. And
So
literally,
I think I've heard of
literally more followers and viewers than my entire like Twitter follow list combined. It was a big surprise to happen, but it's going to be awesome. I will speak very little in that one. I'll just be like, just pass him the mic. Just why don't you take it? Why don't you take it? So,
yeah, that's pretty awesome. Congratulations. Yeah, that sounds like cool.
It's going to be a blast. I'm really nervous. I've been
really,
yeah. Bro, you know me. Why? I get super nervous about everything because people are jerks and I have thin skin. So,
oh well, I'm the opposite. I just like never care 100% of the time,
and that's good.
And I have thick skin.
You should teach me your ways, senpai.
I will do my best.
So,
I will do my best. But yeah, so HCT also happened this weekend as well, and Surrender, the Korean player, ended up taking the whole thing. He's on Planet Odd with Zixo and Hoi. So Hoi, his other teammate, ended up winning the last one. So that's actually really cool to see that dynamic of their team is just so on point right now that they're able to take back-to-back championships. To me, that's pretty insane. I don't know. That just means they're on their A game right now. And that's pretty inspiring, honestly.
Have you heard some of Surrender's trash talk? Like, he was going through saying, he's like, I'm going to win this thing so I don't have to face anyone for my team coming up in the next round.
Yeah, he doesn't want to face Hoi at Worlds in groups. That was this whole reason for wanting to win really bad. But they're insanely good players. If you watch the HCT over the weekend, you would... I mean, maybe you wouldn't notice it because it's not necessarily super obvious, but the level of play was probably the best that I have ever seen in a Hearthstone HCT before. And skill determined almost every single match. Not like every single game, but like the outcome of every single match. Like there's usually a game in each match that was determined by skill, and then that's... I mean, it was just overall, like, some of those matches were just crazy.
So,
and it was very...
What do you think made it that way this time around? Because we've been through, I mean, this is our seventh or eighth HCT since it kind of debuted at the beginning of 2016. What do you think made the level of skill so much more apparent than in HCTs of past?
Well, I would say that it's the decks in the format. Priest and Druid are very strong, but they nerfed Innervate, so a lot of the matches aren't just complete blowouts anymore. They're a lot slower paced. I mean, sure, you can get Raza, Anduin, and just win the game in a Priest mirror, but a lot of the time that wasn't the case, and it just felt like there were more decisions each and every turn because there were so many more turns in each game because the best decks were effectively control or just slow decks, and as opposed to aggro. Obviously, you had Rogue that just went Kel'Seth, Shadowstep, Kel'Seth, and the game was over immediately, but that didn't happen every single game, obviously, since it was Conquest, so Rogue can only be played once. So there's at least one game in almost every single series that came down to a decision that somebody made determining who won or lost. And that was just really cool to see. There's also a lot of misplays, which means that's just a skill like gap, I guess. Like if you don't misplay and your opponent does, that just means you played better than they did. And that what was the determining factor throughout the weekend. So if Surrender just played so well.
Do you think Surrender played so the best out of the competition? Or do you think that, because I've heard some people say that the last match specifically, they felt like Orange played better. I'd love to hear your take.
I think that they both played well, but the last match is... It's hard because you just inherently care less towards the end. Because once you're in top four, like top eight was where everybody played out of their minds. But top four and the finals were... It was really high-level gameplay, but it wasn't on the same level as top 8, just because you just care less. Like, once you qualify for Worlds, you're just like, it's over. Like you just basically that's winning the tournament.
Just an extra $20,000, sure.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean that much though to a lot of those people. As weird as that sounds, like I don't know how much that actually means.
I know I said like, that really facetiously, but I was almost begging the question to, you know, what do you care about more? I mean, it's a good amount of money difference between third and fourth, second and first. It is, but still at the end of the day, I mean, what is it a guaranteed $10,000 just for going to Worlds?
I think it's 25,000 for competing.
All 16 players get $25,000.
Yeah.
So they're just giving $400,000 worth of participation trophies.
Yeah. Wow. Edwin, my teammate, got $80,000 for top eight.
Oh, dang. I'm going to try harder next year. That's all it takes, right?
I mean, that's what determined who did better. Purple, Orange, Jason, and Surrender probably played the most out of anybody else as well. The people who qualified for Worlds, arguably, they practiced more than any of the other players there by a mile.
Listening and I don't to some want of the to, stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to assume because I don't know about certain people like the Chinese, like the other Chinese players or Empanizado or anything like that, but just the way that it was presented to us, it made it seem like that.
Well, and I don't know if you guys know John at all, Orange and stuff, but I've followed him. I wouldn't say like we're really close or anything like that, but I would call him a friend. He would be a guy that I would hang out with at BlizzCon. And man, that guy just plays Hearthstone nonstop. And there's some like, and it's not just like Ray, I love you to death, but I watched you stream this last weekend and you were opening Pokemon cards and like taking bathroom breaks every 10 minutes. Like John, like once he's in the zone, man, he's just in the zone. And his intentional practice time, at least from what I can see from friends list and on stream, is incredible. I'm not saying you don't practice. I'm just saying this weekend.
You know, I'm one of the practice partners, right?
Right. Yeah. Nobody memes harder than you on stream that I've been watching from high level players. And that's a very limited amount of time of what you're actually spending playing Hearthstone. I get that. But the only point I wanted to make is that when Orange plays Hearthstone, man, he plays Hearthstone.
That's kind of a meme amongst everyone is that like they see me play on stream and then they see me play in a tournament and it's like two different people.
Yeah.
Which is true. I have such a hard time focusing if I'm not just completely dedicated to the game. Like if I'm distracted and I'm looking at Twitch chat or anything like that, I just cannot take it seriously. It's like I go 100 or nothing. Like in HCT and at major events, it's like I'm a different person.
Yeah.
In terms of just my attitude when I play the game.
I get it. And I really appreciate that about you too, where it's either not all business or not all play. You've got to switch. I just wish you would turn that competitive switch on when you're coaching me. Dang. Come on. Let's go.
Hey, I do. I have, if people want that experience, if they ever get coaching from me, then I'd go all out and just go super educational on them. Drop that knowledge.
I'm just messing with you. When's the last time we've even played Hearthstone together, man? It has to be, what, 6 months?
I doubt that. I'm not really sure, though. Maybe it has. Time flies, man.
It does.
Time flies when you're playing Hearthstone.
It does.
And that's all I've been doing for the last year, so.
Well, hey.
That's, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know, Danny, do you have to say anything about the HCT?
I watched most of it this weekend. I thought that it was pretty good. It was interesting to see that a lot of games went to five matches. That was something that was very interesting. Yeah. Going to five matches really showed that the lineups were balanced enough that no one really brought anything that was significantly stronger than anything else. And like you said, a lot of it came down to skill. When everyone's playing the same decks, whoever pilots the decks the best, really, it really showcases. And you could definitely see some of the misplays. There were a couple of moments where I was yelling at my, I was watching it on my TV. I was yelling at my TV. I'm like, why would you play this? What are you doing?
Yeah, because you can see their hand and like you see them play these like five plus attack minions into the Anduin. And you're just like, why would you do that? Are you stupid? You could have just played the four attack minions and won the game.
Yeah. A lot of the times in the Shaman Mirror too, you could go and you'd see some things where, especially when you had the Chinese player, Baze, she had a play with her Tal'Darim thing, and it was just, I thought that it was because she played it completely wrong.
Oh, yeah, she did. She played horribly, but that's something that is a kind of a touchy subject. Because then they're just like, oh, but she's at the world champion, or she's at the championships, and you're at home watching it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, she definitely put in the amount of time. And listening to some of the little clips they put in, the amount of time that everyone practiced and everything, it was like orange and purple practiced together for 13 plus hours a day. Like, ridiculous stuff like that. And I'm not going to take away from any of that. These guys really know their stuff. They put their time in. And while they think in the moment certain things are better, what can I say to that? I'm just someone in my, I can see the opponent's hands. I have more information than they have. So that's basically what it is.
Also, a lot of the players that aren't really accustomed to the atmosphere have nerves. Like they get nervous.
Ray throws up every time before we even do a podcast. I can't imagine what it would be like when he's actually competing on stage at DreamHack or whatever it is. It's by the way, can you do that off camera next time, Ray? Jeez.
I don't get nervous that much. It's really weird.
You get in this zone, man, where it's like I'm watching a totally different person. It's really weird.
I wish I didn't have that though, because like I'm not animated at all on camera. Like you see some players that do like fun things when they're on camera, or they have reactions to getting blown out by a card, or they have reactions when they have a huge top deck, and you see those on the highlight reels where people just show just raw emotion. And then if you ever watch me on stream, I'm just like stone faced 100% of the time, no matter what happens. I'm just too focused to even care about anything that happens in the game. I just don't react to anything. It's kind of annoying because I wish I had that.
As long as you're winning, because like if your opponent's trying to read you or something, like they can't do that if you're stone cold.
Yeah, but
that's definitely an advantage.
I don't know. I wish sometimes I wish you could show like a personality as opposed to just like,
you're right,
some fat kid just staring at a camera.
You lose the meme
dead.
Potential. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's like at the poker table, right? You know, the guys who, you know, are really good at misallocating a tell are a lot better than the ones that are super animated. But hey, they're everyone's favorite because they're funny. You know, it was one of the reasons why I think Life Coach did really well in online tournaments and things like that. And then just, you know, didn't really get to capitalize, especially at the end of his time with Hearthstone. And it probably had something to do with the fact that every time something was played, you go just like that every time. And you're like, well, that wasn't what he expected. Cool. I'll play that.
I don't know. It's something that's like super hard to control too. It's like I can't force that reaction out of myself either. It's just it's weird. But when I'm streaming, I can, because I don't feel like there's anything on the line.
It's totally different, right? You're in a new, you're not in your bedroom or office. There aren't these huge stakes. there isn't 50 plus thousand people watching you on a Twitch stream. It's totally different. It's totally different. And even like doing this show live, like we have, you know, a couple dozen people usually come hang out for the show live. And you realize it's going out to thousands of people throughout the week. And you're like, oh, I should take this more seriously. And I'm like, no, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
That's what happens. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wish I could just control those things. I don't know. I feel like there's some people who get more popular just by their reactions. Like my teammate, even he does like Twitch emotes when he's playing, like Brokeback. He just like does that when his opponent top decks the nuts. And I'm just like, what? Did something happen? Oh, they top deck Pyroblast to kill me. I didn't even notice that. Honestly, that's how I react. Like it's just like very, flatline 100% of the time.
I think you'll win in the long run doing that, if I'm being honest.
I hope so. I'm trying a lot harder now. There was a bit of a, I would say, lull in Hearthstone tournaments.
An L-U-L? After like the... capital L-U-L? Like a hyperlull?
No. Like, as in after prelims where we got disconnected in Boston, I just kind of went off the cuff and didn't play in anything because there was nothing to play. I didn't even get Legend for the first time ever in last month just because I wanted to make a statement to myself that I could just, like, not just try to chill for a month.
Yeah.
But now after...
Whatever, I can quit, whatever.
No, I can't do that. I'm realistic. I'm real. Like if I'm a cocaine addict, I'm doing cocaine. I can't stop cold turkey. That's not how that works. Unless it is, I don't know. Don't do cocaine.
thank you. I'm like, there goes the clean tag. Thanks for the advice.
You know what? My life has changed because of that.
Boom. What a role model that young Ray C is. Unbelievable.
Oh, no. Don't let your kids watch my stream. That's just a bad idea.
Or this podcast, apparently.
No, it's true. Cocaine is bad for you, John.
Okay, we're moving on here for a moment. So we're jumping all over the place here. So a few things. Number one, if you guys didn't grab it from that, Surrender did win HTC this year. HCT, not HTC. God dang it, you guys. You're the worst. They do this thing in the show notes where they mess up HCT and HTC all over the place. They're like, John.
So we want a new phone? Is that what you're telling me?
I wish we were sponsored by HCT. HTT.
Do you want to know something funny?
At
PAX East, Surrender actually won an HTC tournament and won a phone.
Yeah. A lot of people are getting the new HTC 11s or whatever they're called. It's a new phone. I would.
So he won the HTC.
If they ran iOS and were as good as iPhones, I would use one. But they're not. Yeah. So congrats to Surrender winning HCT. And then, of course, congrats to Purple Orange and Jason Zhao for finishing top four and qualifying for HCT in January, which this is also new this week. The Global Grand Final Championships something is going to be in Amsterdam. So that's pretty cool, right? Like,
yeah.
So we had Bahamas. Was it Shanghai, L.A., and then now we're going to be in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's going to be real fun for the players.
I think so. Like,
being in Amsterdam.
Yeah, bro. I get what you're saying. All right. Yeah, bro. So
it's going to be almost as fun as Denver.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Let me tell you something. I I'm not taking advantage of Denver as much as I probably should be. But yeah, so huge congratulations to all of that. And then, I don't know, somebody put in-depth analysis, decklist, band strategy, and a link to Kerparian. What is that? I feel like that's just like a Reddit meme at this point.
Did you guys see
what
that?
Does this mean?
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, Crip actually did a thing with the Hearthstone deck tracker people. And he just did analysis on cards and stuff like that.
No, that's not why I put that there. I put that there because of Purple's acceptance speech. Did you guys see that?
Purple
goes over and he gets asked by one of the casters. He's like, "If you were, you're like a guru. You have some Hearthstone knowledge. If you were to tell someone one thing about Hearthstone and how you get started up in the pro scene, what would you do?" And then Purple says, "Easy, one word." And then he said, "Twitch.tv/Kerparian."
All right, Ray, you're offended by that. Why?
I'm not offended.
I actually love
Purple's meme.
I think he has some pretty good content as well. He definitely works at it. He puts a lot of effort into his stuff.
Good Crip?
Yeah.
I just thought it was ironic because he also did an in-depth thing with the Hearthstone deck tracker people about the data of the game.
Did he?
Yeah, which is why that's actually why I thought you put it there. I'm not going to lie to you.
This is why I don't assume what you guys mean anymore. I just tell the listeners what was put on the show notes, and I make you guys justify them because I'm done guessing with you two.
I mean, apparently I am, too. I got thrown off by that one, but...
It's a double meaning. It's a double meaning.
It's a double meme. The memes are going way too deep now. It's memeception at this
so
point.
So Purple says...
Purple, though.
So Purple says, go to twitch.tv/Kerparian. Spelled wrong, of course. Two R's.
Mm-hmm.
And then... But you can't even get HCT right. So, you know, good enough.
That was intentional.
Yeah.
I have best foot
right.
on the
yeah,
mark
right.
next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
That's definitely
oh,
intentional.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. So we've got that. And then he also did an in-depth look with Hearthstone. Do you say Hearthstone top decks or Hearthstone deck tracker?
Yeah, the Hearth Sim community is pretty much what it is.
Got it.
They make the deck tracker that everybody uses, and they own the website.
Do you guys use a deck tracker when you're playing on the ladder?
I don't right now because I'm not trying to climb. Like if this was a season where I needed to get a high legend rank, I would use deck tracker just because it makes it easier to play multiple games. But right now, when I play, I'm playing to practice for tournaments like DreamHack where I can't use a deck tracker. So it's better to just practice without one.
That's generally what I hear people say all the time is if you understand what a deck tracker adds or removes from your gameplay, use one. But if you don't use one because it generally ends up hurting you in the long term.
I would disagree because on some level, if your goal is to play in tournaments, I wouldn't use a deck tracker. But if your goal is to just get a high legend rank so you can qualify for HCT or something, then you 100% should be using a deck tracker because it makes it so much easier.
I really like using a deck tracker for references, so I try my best to like pretend like the deck tracker isn't there. Be like, oh, yeah, did they play a Wrath or a Swipe? And then, no, I don't remember them doing it. And then referencing it as well, so it kind of helps affirm your learning a little bit. But I know all the legend listeners that we have, which is like 85% of our listener base, because we just have a bunch of badass listeners who are really good at the game. You know, they're like, John, shut up. But deck trackers, use them as a tool. That's all I'm saying. That's one of the first things that
I typically find myself using it when games start to bleed together. If I'm playing like a good 60 or 70 games or whatever, I typically have a lot of scenarios that are similar, and the deck tracker helps me with that. That's one of the things that it really helps with, where it's like, I have no idea if this guy's played two swipes or one or whatever, because I've seen like 18 swipes in the past hour.
It's like, that's 17th swipe. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. When you're playing, it's really good for ladder. If your goal is to gain ranks, just because it allows you to use less brain power, which makes you able to play longer. Like, you're just focusing less on each game. Mm. That's the reason why practicing is so important.
Intensity so versus that when you're endurance. On... I like it. That would be a really good segment.
Well, okay. It's not really that long of a segment, honestly. The basis of it is if you've played 20,000 games of Hearthstone to practice for a tournament, and then you go onto the big stage, you're not going to forget. It just becomes instinct because you've played so many games of Hearthstone. Whereas as if you've played, 100 games of Hearthstone leading up to the tournament, you have to think a lot harder in each one of those games that you play, and it becomes much more difficult in the tournament setting. If you don't know every single scenario already, and you don't have it ingrained into your memory, and you're having to think through each scenario, it just becomes so much more difficult. I mean, you can do it. It just means that you're gonna get tired more easily. You're gonna just stop being able to focus a lot quicker.
Right.
And on the place where it really matters too, like, that's where you want to spend your energy. And you don't really want to be thinking about some of the middle and lower level plays. You want to be able to think about the hard, the ones that like actually matter.
Yeah. That's a good point. So
yeah,
this is why we brought you guys on. Bring a couple legend players on. Just be like, tell us what to do, guys. Just tell us.
So this is one of the first times I started to get in calls with like big name people. I was in a call with Oskaka and the Rat, and they were talking about how Kalento had played like 40,000 or 50,000 games, and that the amount of energy it takes for him to play the game at a high level is so much less than the amount of energy it takes Oskaka or somebody like that to play at a high level, just because he's seen literally every single scenario so many times because of the sheer number of games that he's played, as opposed to somebody like Oskaka, who just has less games under his belt, where Oskaka might have to think harder and take longer and actually really just get drained just thinking about things, where Kalento is like, he's already seen it, he already knows what to do. He just has to make sure he's doing it correctly, like physically.
So this is the big, this is a huge question that I'm just going to ask on anyway. So where do you think, so what I'm hearing from there is there's an intentionality with the games that you're playing in Hearthstone versus the sheer number, the sheer volume of games. And where do you think like the level of importance lies as a Hearthstone player? Are you like because I've had quite a few coaches and they're like, just play as many games as you can. Just play. All that matters is how much you're playing. I've had other people, go ahead and say, you know what? You don't have to play all that much. You just have to be really intentional with your time and your games and be involved at a really high level skill wise to make that happen. Where do you guys land on that argument? I think obviously there's going to be an element of both, but I would love to hear your guys' philosophy.
I think you always play to the best of your ability and think out each turn until you no longer have to think it out and it just becomes natural. That's pretty much how Kalento got to where he is, because he didn't start out already knowing what to do in every single possible scenario. He got there through being meticulous in each game until you get to the point where you no longer have to be nearly as meticulous as you did because you've already seen the situation before, because you've already played the situation thousands of times before. So it's one of those things where you should pay attention to every single game and take your time until it just becomes natural to you.
What about you, Danny? You're a multi-legend player. What's your approach?
Ray said it pretty well there. You gotta put as much effort as you can into learning how to play a specific deck or a style or something like that. But once you've started to, like, patterns start to emerge, like muscle memory, similar to muscle memory when you're playing like a sport, you have like memory of things that happen in the game and how prior outcomes have come through. So that typically, if you rely on those previous experiences, you can really start to think about more important things. Instead of just like, oh, should I be playing this turn? You can start thinking, okay, what's my opponent's next best play? And then you can start like taking your thought away from your like current moment in the game to where you are like situated in the overall game.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Yeah. So to give you a good example of this is I can get Legend nowadays without even really thinking about the game at all. I can just turn my brain off and let my muscle memory just kick in and just play the game, and it'll be good enough that I can just easily get to Legend. But 2 years ago or whenever I started playing, I had to obviously learn how to get to that point. I had to really think. I wasn't able to just get Legend like I can nowadays. It actually took thought, effort, and hard work to be able to do it. But after you get Legend 100+ times,
you haven't been to Legend 100+ times. I just need to say that the game's been out for 4 or 5 years, like 60.
I've been Legend over 100. No, I've been Legend over 100 times. I play on NA and EU. I've gotten Legend every single season.
That doesn't count.
Servers except for last
doesn't
month.
Count, right?
What?
Doesn't count.
I think that does.
I don't think so. Ian, I want Legend you to. NA. We need to count. But we can't prove it. But
I remember over like when I first started streaming like 2 years ago or something, I'd already been Legend like 20 times.
I don't believe you.
There's 12 months in a year, John. That's 24 Legends. Okay, maybe not 100.
So 4 then. Years is 96.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is 2013. Okay. I'm not a multi. I'm a three-time Legend player. Okay, I'm not. I'm maybe, by no means an excellent Hearthstone player.
Definitely, yeah.
But you're definitely high up there. But hundreds. I'm putting my foot down.
I don't know.
Fake
I think
news.
It's close. I think it's actually
that's
close.
Fake news.
I think it's.
I think you're close. I bet you're 70s, 80s for sure. For sure. But that's very different than hundreds, a plural version of 100.
I don't know. I think a lot of it was from when I first started streaming. I used to be that guy, and I would boost accounts for like, I forget what my rate was, but it was like maybe $10 a rank.
Don't say
like,
that.
From like rank 5.
Don't say that on a podcast.
Okay, whoops, my bad. I mean, I didn't do that
great.
Ever.
Good. Thanks for giving me some editing work to do. Appreciate that.
Oh God! Whoops, that's bad to say. Okay, never mind. Didn't say that. All right, moving
Don't
on.
Don't boost account, listeners. That's it. Whether you're paying for a boost or doing the boosting. Let's just say it, the amount of frowned upon it is maximum, which is why we brought Ray on the show. To tell you how you can be a reformed Blizzard convict and show
stay out of Blizzard.
Do good things and win many things. So dang,
whoa.
I'm
I wasn't on there. I was coaching them.
If you would have started with that, I think people would have believed you. But now you just gave me like 20 minutes of editing work. So.
Oh,
you know what? Let's do this instead. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into Corel. You said 4 times 12 is 48, not 96. He played it. He said he played on NA and EU. So 4 times 12 times 2. Let's go ahead and Ray, you've designed a great segment that I'm basically going to drop out of and not say anything. but I didn't create a sounder for it. I wanted a cool, like, counting sounder with, like, the count from Sesame Street. And it just took too much work. Too much work. So instead, we're just going to replay the Shoop one.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby.
All right, go ahead.
I'm happy with that sounder. All right, so this is the primary strategy section, is what we're calling it. And it's similar to what we've done in previous weeks. And this week's lesson is going to be resource management / hand tracking with basically hand tracking, which was super prevalent during the HCT. And that's one of the reasons why the players who did so well did so well. And that's something that you really need to be focusing on if you want to attain that next level of gameplay. That's one of the reasons why you might not be able to get to higher legend, because you're not necessarily keeping track of your opponent's hand, and you might be playing into things that you shouldn't be playing into. And I'm pretty sure every single high-level player hand tracks. Like, Danny, you definitely hand track, which basically means you're just keeping track of what cards your opponent has in their hand, like how long they've been holding them, what cards they keep in the mulligan, etc., etc. And the first thing that I wanted to do was go over keeping track of mulligans. So at the beginning of every game, you can see how many cards your opponent keeps and how many that they mulliganed. And that's just super important to pay attention to. And a lot of people don't do that at the beginning of every game. A lot of people just ignore it. They don't notice their opponent throwing away cards or keeping cards. It's just something that takes extra brain power that a lot of people just ignore. And it's so relevant. The first example at HCT that was a just incredibly just, it was just amazing play by Tom60229. So what he did, this was against Nalgaiden. How do you say that? Is it?
Yes.
Nalgaiden.
Yes. Okay. Those were Nalgaiden. Both correct.
All right. So against Nalgaiden, Nalgaiden kept two or three cards, and Tom60229 recognized this, and he drew a Swashburglar as a rogue player after mulliganing. And instead of playing Swashburglar on turn one, even though he didn't necessarily have a defined turn two, he just didn't play Swashburglar, which let his opponent have to tap on turn two. Whereas if he had played the Swashburglar on one, Nalgaiden would have just been able to Glock a Crawler it, and he would have been so far ahead that the game was probably almost immediately lost on the spot. So Tom60229, he just recognized that his opponent kept multiple cards. The only cards that your opponent would keep against a rogue would be something like a Doomsayer or Glock a Crawler or Tar Creeper or something like that. And then not only did he not play the Swashburglar on turn one, he also just kept not playing it, which is something I feel like a lot of people would not do. They would just see the one drop on turn one and they would just play it and start attacking face with patches, because they're either afraid that they're going to draw patches or they just want to put the pressure on the board. And then after turn two, once Nalgaiden didn't play cards in his hand that he kept, Tom60229, he just recognized that, okay, by process of deduction, or whatever you call that, process of elimination, my opponent must have X, Y, or Z, but he most likely has Glock a Crawler, because this is the only card that would make sense that he just would not play and keep holding in his hand. And then eventually they would just play Glock a Crawler, and then you just slam your pirates. And this happens so often. And it's something that I noticed myself doing on ladder after watching HCT. I just laddered a little bit yesterday and I just did not lose with Rogue. I was just playing Fireflies on turn one instead of playing Swashburglars when they would keep cards. And then I would get to the point where my opponent would just play Galaka Crawler and I'd be like, yes, I knew they had it. And then I just never gave them the value, which means they never had a board to just kill my minion. So if I had played a Swashburglar or a pirate on turn one, they have the 3-4. Now all of a sudden that 3-4 is contesting my SI agents. It's contesting my Fireflies or anything I put on board is just immediately dead. But now I can play these cards like SI agent instead of doing that. Instead of just having them die because the Galaka Crawler is contesting them. Now I can play them and it's more awkward for my opponent. And now they also have a card that's just dead in their hand. Granted, sometimes that's not the case and they're just keeping poorly or I don't know. It's not always the case or that happens. But
that's one of the things that you really have to look into with hand tracking. If you're playing at a lower level, sometimes your opponent might not be playing optimally. And a lot of the time when you're making reads off this, you typically make reads off of the optimal play. So if someone is to keep a card and hold on to something for a long time, you're expecting them to be holding on to the right card. You're not going to, like, sometimes your opponent might do something that's not the best play. And when you're doing optimal, when you're doing hand tracking, you need to treat it as if it is the optimal play, which is why actually the higher up you go on the ladder, the better hand tracking works. Unless your opponent starts like messing around with you and does some bluffing and stuff like that. But that's a whole nother game in itself.
Well, that...
Yeah, that's usually almost never the case.
So that was something I was going to ask you, though, because for me as a player, and again, I've hit Legend a few times, but most of all, I grind up to, you know, around rank 5-ish, and I just kind of hang up my hat and say, good job, John, go play Overwatch. And is I tend to get paranoid, and I tend to overthink the answers that my opponent can have. And how do you guys balance the, ooh, I think they have this based on what they've kept or what they haven't played versus the just start playing cards, man, you know?
Well, that sort of segues into the next part, which is mid-game hand tracking for the mulligan. With just general deck knowledge, there are cards you keep and cards you don't keep against certain matchups. And if they keep cards, it can only be maybe one of five things in most cases, right? Against Rogue as a whatever Warlock, you're keeping only Doomsayer, Galaka Crawler, maybe you're keeping Mortal Coil. Like, it's a short list of things, right? Like, you're not keeping Death Knight against an aggro deck. That's just not happening. So with mulligan hand tracking, it's a lot more easier to figure out what they're keeping because it can only be a certain number of cards unless they're bad. But with mid game hand tracking, that's when it gets a little bit trickier. That's when the mind games can start to come into play. So with mid game hand tracking, this is where you've already taken turns, but now your opponent has cards that are off of either a mulligan or that they've drawn that they're not playing. That's when you start to say, okay, my opponent drew this card on turn one and they haven't played it and it's now turn six. Now this card has to be either a high drop card like Bone Mare or it's Burn or like a Devolve if you're playing against Shaman or Evolve or Bloodlust. It's those kind of things. If they've been holding cards for a long time, it can only be a certain number of things because with each turn that passes, you go, okay, my opponent could have played Flame Tongue on two, and they didn't play Flame Tongue on two as this card, so it can't be that card. That card can no longer be Flame Tongue. And then each and every turn, you can just narrow down what that card can and can't be. And most of the time, that you'll find that you're actually just correct, and that they've been holding Bloodlust for 20 turns, and that's why they haven't played it yet. Because they haven't had a good Bloodlust turn. So you can deduce that. And the main scenario that happened in HCT, where players just played out of their minds, was you go into turn 7, and then your opponent's going into turn 8. You're playing against Priest, and you have Bone Mare in your hand. If you play Bone Mare on a creature, that creature's now immediately dead to Shadow Reaper Anduin. Because, and so is the Bone Mare, because you're buffing it by +4/+4, Bone Mare has 5 attack. So instead of playing Bone Mare on turn 7, they would just not play it. And then eventually their opponent would be forced to play Shadow Reaper Anduin, and then they play their Bone Mares after that. So that knowledge of just knowing my opponent has been keeping this card in their hand for X amount of turns, there's a X percent chance that it could be Anduin, and it most likely is, because they would have played X, Y, or Z already. That's just, I don't know, I felt like that was something that you don't see on ladder a lot. I feel like a lot of people just don't think about that, and they just jam Bone Mare, and they just get immediately punished going into turn 8. And that was just insane. And then on the flip side of things, you notice that I made a wide board, or a relatively wide board. My opponent didn't play an AoE. They didn't play a Flame Strike, where that board felt like it was strong enough to warrant a Flame Strike. Now, I can assume that they don't have that Flame Strike, and I can just go all in and then pressure them with Lethal if they don't top deck it. And they only have like a 5-10% chance to top deck it. So now I just win because they don't have it, because they would have played it the turn before.
Do you actually do the math in your head on these ones? Because like when you say 5-10%, like I get what you're saying. I love numbers. I love statistics, and I'm actually pretty good at statistics, but I tend to like overanalyze, I guess, in those perspectives. And to like, are there any places out there where you learn kind of like basic number probability things for Hearthstone? Are there places out there or resources out there that either of you have run across? Because I haven't, outside of like 1 in 30, yeah. 2 in 30, or you know, 1 in however many, like besides that.
Yeah, the deck trackers provide that.
There you go. There you go, folks.
There's a little tip there on the side.
Yeah, like with one copy left in deck, it's X percent. With two copy left, it's X percent. And then you just see that so much as you're going through the game. You know, like, okay, I'm about halfway through my deck and I have a 2 of left. So I have around like a 10% chance of drawing X every turn, which also means your opponent would have that as well. And it's something that you just notice that you've been playing with deck tracker and just looking at those statistics, and it just kind of becomes ingrained in your head, and you can start to eyeball it after a certain point that those are the percentages. But you don't have to be exact. That's not really important.
Yeah. As long as you have a rough estimate, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to have a good feeling about it. And your instinct in Hearthstone is just... it's very important. You just, like, I don't know. I feel like that's something you develop after a while.
After you played a lot of games, I typically feel that you're a lot of the stuff is subconscious at certain points. And after, like we were mentioning earlier, playing a couple thousand games with a deck will give you more experience and more of a feel on how to play the deck. And then, inversely, when you're playing against the deck, if you've played that deck a lot, you start to understand, oh, okay, this is the turn where I would normally go and do this play. I would normally Bone Mare here. This guy hasn't done that, so he doesn't have Bone Mare.
Right, exactly. And those are just things that you pick up on eventually. But if you're not at that point yet, and you're at a point where you're trying to get to that place, I would recommend every single game that you play, just slow down, take a deep breath, and pay attention to their hand. Because that's probably something that you don't do if you're struggling to get Legend. You probably aren't paying attention to what their mulligans are or how long they've been keeping certain cards. What a lot of players do if they're struggling to get Legend is they're just not paying enough attention to their opponent or the general metagame. Because if your opponent's playing a deck, if they're playing Prince Rogue or Kazakus Priest, they're probably playing a deck list that's a carbon copy of somebody else's deck list. So you have a general idea of what they're playing. Almost nobody's playing anything unique nowadays. There's pretty much everything is it's known, right?
You know, they have somewhere between 30 to 35 cards with a couple tech spots. But otherwise, it's relatively the same deck. And then from there, you can make plays based off of the knowledge of specific cards there.
Right, exactly.
One other thing about hand tracking that I thought was pretty interesting was watching your opponent mouse over cards. Like, let's say you're playing against a warlock and they mouse over one option and then they end up going with something else. Like, let's say they go and they target your minion. Like, you can see the arrow in the game. So if your opponent goes and targets your minion, you typically can think, okay, they're probably going to Shadow Bolt my minion. And if they Hellfire instead, you can then say, okay, well, they were considering between Hellfire and Shadow Bolt. So the card that they moused over is most likely Shadow Bolt. So you can make deductions based off of things like that. Yeah. Unless you're, you can go, and this is very rare on the ladder, but like I used to go and like I would mess around with people. I have like an Earthen Ring Farseer in my hand. I would go and I would target their minion with the card.
Yeah.
So then they go in and they're like, okay, this guy has some sort of Shadow Bolt or something. So they would play around it when I would just bluff them out like that.
But, I've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to do, but it's not something that you will ever see often on the ladder.
I mean, I've been grinding the legend ranks, and then I've had a, I don't know, a while ago, I remember I played like a tech Ironbeak Owl in some deck before it was nerfed. And I would like point Ironbeak Owl at their face, like presenting a fireball or something, and they would just concede because they would just be so tilted. And that's not something you should do, but yeah, that's like hand tracking. If they do that, that's not going to happen too much in the higher ranks. Like you see in tournaments, people rope so often because if you don't rope, that actually gives you your opponent information. Like if I'm taking a Kazakus potion and I immediately pick both choices, you assume that the potion is a good potion. But if I rope out picking the best possible potion, they have no idea what it is.
Well, that's why they changed the mulligan stuff too, right? To where it used to be that you could see how quickly your opponent picked their cards.
Yeah.
So then everybody would just rope, and it's like a waste of whatever 75 seconds or however long it was to pick those. So, you know, it's not just the cards you play, but how quickly you play them that ends up being information for your opponents. And it's not like, especially on the ladder, sometimes just sheer number is important as far as the number of games you're playing in or playing. But, you know, especially in tournaments, it's not just the cards you play, but the timing and sequence in which you play them that ends up being really important. So
outside of tournaments and top 100 ladder, I don't do that stuff because it's just not worth my time to rope out obvious turns.
Yeah,
it's like in a tournament I'll rope a turn two. Well, not anymore, but like if you used to rope a turn two Wild Growth and that's all you can do, it makes your opponent sometimes think that you have an Innervate and that you have other options. So that's why you rope it. But if it's on ladder, I'm not going to do that because I'm just wasting my own time.
It's unoptimal. The amount of time you waste by not giving out that information usually isn't directly correlated to the number of wins or your level of enjoyment.
Although there are some things. There are some things that you can just do naturally, though, to mitigate that. There's some, like playing when you get a discovered copy of a card. Typically, you want to play the copy that's in your deck before you played the discovered copy so that your opponent doesn't realize that. Like, let's say you get two fireballs. You have one in your deck and then one from Primordial Glyph. You play the one from your deck first so that your opponent's not expecting it. So if your opponent is using some of these techniques, they'll realize it's a random card and they might not play around Fireball. Whereas like if you played the discovered one first, they're like, okay, he still has a Fireball in his deck as well.
Also, that kind of goes with drawing cards in general. If you draw something like, say you're going to Fireball your opponent's minion, but you just drew a Fireball and there's one that you had since the opening mulligan, like you didn't keep it, but it's been in your hand since the mulligan, you play the one that's been in your hand because that's the one that your opponent has more information about, because your opponent's already narrowing down what that card is, right? And Fireball would be one of the options. I'm just using that as like a general example. So just play the cards that are always in your hand as opposed to the ones that you top deck, just because your opponent has more information about the cards that are already in your hand as opposed to the cards that you draw off the top of your deck.
Boom. Next level right there. I love it.
Outside of tournaments, though, in high level ladder, it's just like your opponent is most likely just not even paying attention to that stuff. So it's kind of a moot
They're
point
playing
a lot
on
of
their
the time.
Smartphones on the toilet on their 15 minute break. Yeah, I get you. I'm picking up on what you're throwing down.
I mean, you're smelling what I'm stepping in.
Yeah. What else, Ray? Anything else you want to touch on for resource management and hand tracking?
No, I think that was the main gist of it, I would say.
Hmm.
I mean, general resource management is like slightly different, which we can hold off for another discussion. I just really wanted to put down the hand tracking and the importance of it, and the role it played in HCT was just so huge. And the hand tracking without having a deck tracker or pencil and paper was just so insane to me.
And it's on a different scale at HCC as well, because you get to read the other player's emotions as well. If a player gets all disappointed because they don't draw a good top deck or something, you can read that. And that actually, there was a play when Purple was playing against Jason Zhao, and Jason Zhao went and played a secret, and Purple literally went and asked what secret.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
And he got some information off of that. Jason Zhao went and he laughed about it. I mean,
No, that was Tom 60229.
Oh, was that Tom? Okay.
Yeah, that was top 8. Yep, that was top 8. I remember that. I was like, wait a second. That's racist. That wasn't Jason.
No.
All of the games blend together.
They do.
It's not racist.
At the end of the day, you're just looking at board states and not necessarily the players for the most part. So I totally get it. But
that was the opposite. You are looking at the players because that's the whole
point. No. We're getting out of here, boys. We're not going down that road. Thank you guys so much for hanging out for episode 128. Hope you enjoyed it. Learned something. Had a good laugh, whatever. We just like to make your week more enjoyable. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. Patreon, thank you to our well-met legends, The Real Ben and Corral. Thank you so much for your support of the show. Ray, I think we've got a new patron this week.
Yeah, Kirk R. Thank you so much for your support. It is much appreciated.
And where can people go to find out more?
At patreon.com/wellmetpodcast.
Boom, there it is. I think our $30 tier means that you get a coaching session with the host of your choice, which is always Danny or Ray. So, you know, that's quite the deal. But if you like the show, want to support,
I
don't know.
I've been coaching a few people. I've been coaching a couple times each month.
Yeah.
And the feedback has been extremely positive.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
So you can do that. As far as iTunes review goes, no new 5-star iTunes reviews. But if you like the show and, you know, don't necessarily have the finances to throw some money at the free entertainment you get every month, we totally get it. But one way you can support it is going to your regional iTunes and leaving a 5-star review. If you do so, we'll make Danny or El Dorian mispronounce your name on the show. I don't know. Whoever I feel like will end up doing that. So, thank you guys so much for your support. We are the most highly rated Hearthstone podcast on iTunes and the second most rated overall. So that's awesome news. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Let's do shout outs for the week and where people can find you. Anything else? Danny, what about you, man?
Sure. You can find me at DannyDonuts_HS on Twitter, and my Twitch, when I get around to streaming, is Danny Donuts 45. But I'm currently in a little bit of a lull on the streams.
Me too, dude.
Not at a Ray level lull yet, but I'm getting there.
A hyper lull.
The days of once a month streams are done. I streamed every single day last week, actually. Yeah,
you did that Bud Light tournament. I was proud of myself. Did you win?
It's not over. The end of it is on Thursday.
Because you've been doing pretty well. So you're like, last time I checked, you were 13-4.
Yeah, I'm in top 16. So nice. It finishes on Thursday.
Cool.
Do you go and is that going to interfere with DreamHack?
No. It starts at 9 p.m. on Thursday. So I'll be in my hotel playing it with like all the other pros from DreamHack. So I'll probably just, 5v1 some poor guy. It'll be like me, Oskaka, Fire, like Pavel, like all the world champions in the room. Just playing against this one dude.
All the world champions minus you. Or plus you, I guess.
I mean, I have to say I'll be there. I've already dug myself a hole this podcast.
Dang.
So,
all right. Where can people find you, Ray?
Well, people can catch me streaming on twitch.tv/race591. And they can follow me on Twitter at @PG_RaceT. Would much appreciate it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. As for me, you can find me this weekend at TwitchCon. And make sure to come by, say hi, and all that kind of good stuff. If you're interested in podcasting at all, I'm not the best Hearthstone player, but I do know a thing or two about podcasting. You can check out our panel, and that'll also be live streamed at twitch.tv/PJSugar, I believe. Otherwise, if you'll be at TwitchCon, it'll be at noon Pacific time at the PJ Sugar Theater with myself, Chanman V, and Total Biscuit. That'll be really fun, and check that out. Otherwise, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, and I love hanging out with you guys on Twitter. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in for episode 128 of Well Met. You can find us live at 7 p.m. Pacific time on Monday at twitch.tv/blizzpro. Thank you so much. Send us your emails, wellmet@blizzpro.com. If you have questions, comments, ideas for the show, you want to let us know. We'd love to hear that. Other than that, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you all next week.